right, everybody. This is a welcome to another episode of Channel 801.
Because you already screwed up.
Okay, I'll start all over. Ready? Check.
Take,
there we go.
Take two.
Take two. Hello, everybody. This is a wonderful episode of Channel 801. Recording here at Matagogo in Salt Lake City. I'm joined with Mr. Ben Fuller, the co-host of the show. Ben, how are you doing?
As I said earlier, I'm doing great because fucking 2015's over.
It's over.
And I don't care about New Year, so that must explain a little bit about how happy I am.
Yeah?
That year is over because I don't care anything about that.
Let's talk about some of the highlights of 2015 for Ben Fuller. What do you got? What made it such a...
No,
memorable.
I could lose my job if I talked about
a banner
it.
Year.
Oh, okay. We've all been drinking. This is a drunken podcast.
We haven't finished the accounting on 2015 to talk about it.
So. I don't know how close that is.
So Ben's excited and looking forward to 2016.
I'm not
apparently.
Looking forward to it. I'm just glad.
He's just glad 2015's over and the numbing of 2016 is about to begin, right? I'm also. We're also joined here today by two local film talents, Ryan Templeman and Joe Petrie. Gentlemen.
How's it going?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Sorry, I thought we were supposed to be brief.
Oh, we're supposed to be brief.
No, yeah, that brief, yeah.
Joel's supposed to be brief. Ryan's supposed to just go off on tangents.
Yes.
So, real quick, some of you might know Ryan and Joel. They were involved with us in our first go-around of Channel 801 back at Brewies before we got fed up dealing with Brewies. You guys always have great films. You're one of the few people that will send me something and I'll say, I won't even look at it, and I'll just start scheduling it in.
Well, that was good. Well, thank you.
So,
I blame Joel for that.
Joel's kind of a technical whiz. So he's not just a technical whiz. He knows all the technical. He's also got a good eye. And an understanding of structure and story, and he can direct. He can direct as well.
Looks like Ben is applying for his next job right now.
Yeah.
He's doing some. Do you need any help, Joel, with any projects, please?
It depends on what we do next. Honestly, we never really know what's on the plate until it happens. So
yeah,
lots of spinning plates, most of them falling off.
But that's the gig,
that's
right?
That's the gig, exactly.
But if you don't spin the plates, you can't keep them up.
Yeah.
You don't spin doesn't stay up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like Ben mentioned, you guys have been with us as far as, you know, being active participants in Channel 801 since the beginning.
And thank you for that. Because
yep.
Oh, I can't speak for Ryan, but I love Channel 801. It's really great to come. Just
feel like
watch
there,
movies
there's,
and meet the other filmmakers.
I feel like there's a bit of I do, but I am basically paranoid. And, think everybody hates me. There seems to be
a bit of
noise to get. There's
a bit of that vibe
in the local scene, especially since I don't care for. You know, there's a lot. Okay, I'm kind of in a pissy mood, so
let's do this.
You sure you don't want to drink?
Are you sure?
Utah, there seems to be a lot of. Events where they have sponsor walls and they do red carpet walks it just really makes me feel icky. Especially since most of the product they show, most of the films they show are shitty.
I think we're very presentational.
Yeah.
I think we're very surface presentational.
When you say we.
Well, I mean, society,
yeah,
this
okay.
society especially, for all its idiosyncrasies, which I like it here. I mean, I've been here a while, so. But I do think that we're very presentational, and so those things, we're much more concerned about the glitz and the glamour and what it is to be a filmmaker. I'm using my air quotes, as you guys can see.
We're not
so concerned about what the content is and what the story is.
People are concerned about the outcome, not getting there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Ryan and I are both very. The journey is what matters.
It seems to me you guys are more. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's put everything we can into the film. It seems to me that they put more effort into the event than they do the.
Yeah, and you might be talking about two separate groups of people talking about, you know, someone
having
putting
said
on
that,
the event.
I never go to those things, so I could be totally up in the air about this stuff.
And I don't like networking at all. It's the worst.
I don't like having my picture taken.
I like coming here because I can come in just like 5 minutes after it starts and the lights are out.
And you're really good at it.
Thank you. That's kind of my MO. And yeah, and you like can come in and you can see what other people are doing. And then when you see something, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Then after the fact, you have something to talk about. I don't like the coming in and going, I have no fucking clue anybody is here. Yeah. And no one cares about me. I'm not important. Joel's not important. You know, like, it's not a, and that's true.
No,
like,
it is true. I'm genuinely no one not is, important.
We're not important people, right? But when we see something that's cool, I want to be able to talk to that person intelligently about their work. But I can't do that when I'm just like, oh, gosh, so-and-so is here. Now, what on earth do I know that person from? Right. Now, I'm like, yeah, I come here and I've just seen what they've done. So I don't need a refresher. I don't need to pick up my phone and go, shit, IMDb. What has this person done? And then you make this small talk that's just lies. It's just superficial shit. Right. You might as well have like a real enriching conversation where you say, oh, that was a really cool choice that you made there and this, we just did this, you saw that, and you can have a conversation a little bit higher level than just the small talk networking.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad you said that. When Jamie and I were talking about putting this on, one of the goals was to have real connections. I mean, not networking, it's like, but real discussions about, I mean, I work on the commercial side, and I know you guys do too, partially. You do a lot of internally generated projects, but you also do commercial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't. I don't get to have those kinds of structural conversations, those discussions about the process with other commercial shops. You know.
Well, and a lot of times too, it's. I think it's more competition, right? Like it's. You're vying for clients.
I don't want to tell you about my client and the project we did and say anything mean about the clients to somebody who could go out and say, hey, did you hear what Fuller said?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And so you're forced to be tight-lipped about that. But then with like your short films, I think that sometimes because you end up in competition, short film competitions or whatever together, that competition thing can leak in there. But in a showcase piece, like what you guys do with 801, it's more of you're more celebrating all of the pieces at once, and so it doesn't feel like there's any of that competition. There's a little bit of like, I'm sure there's people that just fucking hate me.
No, I only come here to show that I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And I come here to hate on Ryan.
Right, well,
that every day. I sit back here behind the laptop and I stare at him and I'm just like,
why is this, so right
this guy?
Halfway through the showcase, Ryan's half in his cups.
Actually, I'm feeling really romantic with this music in the background. The wine and the plastic cups.
Your little plastic cup of wine.
Yeah, it's feeling very romantic.
This is class.
Can we dim the lights a little, please?
Dim the lights a little.
Now that we kind of got some of the things we hate off our chest, Ryan, how did you get started? You have an improv background.
Yeah, I started. So I started acting when I was really young. I did like a summer for Wayward Boys or whatever at like a, I mean, it's not,
the whole
it's
Mickey
not
Rooney
juvie.
Experience.
Yeah, it's not juvie. I don't know what you call it. It's like Canadian juvie, I guess.
They send you into the wilderness until you wisen up, basically.
Yeah. And so we did like a
You have to go out and kill your own toque.
Yeah. Exactly. You
in
like,
there.
Yeah. You have to paint yourself white and let a moose lick it off of you until there's not a single drop of paint left. No, I did an acting thingy when I was like 13. And then I just kind of was like, hey, I can be a fucking asshole all the time and people think this is fun rather than like whatever the actual official ADD or ADHD or whatever the hell I actually had.
Had.
Yeah, it's morphed into something that doesn't even have a name right now.
Adult onset alcoholism.
It does start with an A. Yeah, so I just started doing that, and then so I was acting on stage and things, and I started doing a little bit of commercial work and ended up doing some film when I was pretty young, and I loved it. And then I ended up moving here. And
why did you move here?
Yeah, that's you don't have a podcast.
You don't have a big enough hard drive to record that.
Circumstance. Weird, you know, witness protection. Anyway, so I ended up here and I started doing the acting thing, and I came really quick to realize that there's only kind of like two things that get filmed here. And I showed up perfect timing right at the end of like the Evermore series, right when we went into a big lull here in the Utah industry for film and repeat work. And so the only things that were getting done were like religious pieces, and I wasn't terribly religious, and those characters didn't speak to me. And the other ones were, you know, much more family friendly.
You mean local productions? That were
yeah, local productions, so, yeah. Exactly.
During like, the kind was, of the Mormon film boom.
Yeah, and so it was like the church ball and some of those. What was the one with the mobs? The
mobsters. Mobsters.
Yeah, and there's a barbecue one. Talking about that outward appearance, like I'm a 6.5 on my best day. Like I'm not good looking enough to do those films. You have to be like in
even,
the tens.
Even if he cuts his hair.
Yeah. So there just wasn't something for me when I got here, and I started getting like that like artist's itch, you know, like I needed to do some.
You want to do something.
Yeah, artistic masturbation. I needed to do something that was like on my own. So I started writing just screenplays that I really never thought would see the light of day. I didn't know the first thing about it, but I did take a few university classes for it and started writing. And I wrote my very first play when I was at UVSC with Joel.
Was that what?
Yep. It was called Shaken with a Twist of Lemon. That was the very first thing I ever wrote. And it was like one of those, when I look back on it, I laugh at how dumb it was, but it was like, it was controversial enough that you had like, you know, some of the more uptight folk in that area get up and leave in the middle of like my production. And I thought that was the best thing that ever happened. I thought that was the greatest thing to ever happen to. Yeah.
Hey, at least you're hitting a nerve, right?
Right, exactly. I've evoked something. Yep. And
I was in it.
Yeah, Joel.
And it wasn't controversial in the slightest. Like,
yeah.
Like, genuinely, the worst thing that happens is he sees a dead body off stage. Like, he doesn't even
see a dead body on stage.
Yeah,
like,
like, that was the worst thing.
Well, he talks about it a little bit graphically.
A little bit. Like,
but it's not like, it wasn't egregious. Anyway, it was just a little bit more outside than what they were expecting from these
short play.
Return missionary showcase, right? Like, that's what it felt like. It just felt like everyone was writing in that same kind of, here is my spiritual story translated to stage form. So, but my screenwriting professor was super encouraging and wanted me to keep writing, and so I did.
Is
I kept writing. That was James.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good
and he
for him.
Still contacts me every year and is like, what have you got? Send me scripts. I want to read them. Because he thinks, you know, I've got a unique voice. And so
he says, Ryan, you should send me, you have a lot of talent. You should send me a script. And if you get a chance to take a picture in the bathroom.
We took plenty of those. it was one of those. You're laughing so hard because he knows James.
You might not be far off. James, I love you.
It just was one of those like weird things where I just started writing and I got better as I wrote. Surprise, surprise. And I started writing more. I started getting more ideas. And it seemed like this endless well of creativity that I had finally like tapped into. It was like oil, you know, and it just started spurting out. So I like started writing. I've got like still probably 12 unfinished scripts from that point that I'm trying to like get through to the end. But at this point, I probably have 4 or 5 completed finished feature scripts that are done. And so it's such a cool exercise in storytelling, which helps my acting because now I recognize that the actor isn't nearly as important as he thinks he is, right? And I also started editing as well, kind of in a little bit earlier in that time frame. And so I'm telling stories from both ends of the spectrum. I'm in the pre-production writing, telling that story, and then I get to act in it because generally I write myself a part. And then I'm in the edit, and I'm doing that final polish on the story that I started so long ago. So it's kind of a cool, full spectrum ability to tell a story.
And I'm sure when you do something like that you start to see you know, when you write something and then you have to act it and then you have to edit it, you see, like, when you're editing, you're like, I shouldn't have wrote this. It didn't translate great.
Sure.
And then when you're acting, you're like, I know this is going to happen in the edit. Maybe, I mean, knowing all those stages.
I'm a firm believer that if you want to know how to make movies, you need to learn how to edit before you do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to see what goes in the can and how to make it work. Because if you can't, then you can't do any of the other jobs. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, I actually...
Including acting.
I do agree. Yeah.
I think
that the going through the whole process with a script is what makes me hypercritical. I'm super critical of myself. And I think a lot of artists are, to some extent, you know, very, very scrutinizing of themselves. But at the same time, it's like you can see where you fell short in the script, and then you can see where you fell short in maybe a performance, and you can see where you fell short in the edit. But you can do little things in each of those areas next time to not fall short in those same areas, right? There's only so much. I mean, you're never going to, like, a script, you can only get as high as your story, as your script, right? You're never going to outperform your script. You just can't. And you're not going to out-edit your script, right? You only can ever meet that threshold. And no film reaches 100% of that story, right? You make concessions here and there, and they change the story, and they actually, sometimes those changes is what makes it amazing.
If you're Terrence Malick, I mean, you shoot the script and you throw the fucker out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's...
You edit something completely different.
And exactly, something totally different. And we've done that a few times, like the one that we showed here before. I think I talked about it a little bit, maybe too disparagingly, but
an example of being hypercritical of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was one of those, again, it's a learning moment where I've written something out that I have like a very kind of, oh, this is going to be so simple and it's such an easy process and it's a long form improv and I'm asking a lot of my talent and my talent was fantastic. They were great. And they made these like real, alive and rich characters. And what I should have done is just taken that script and just tossed out the window. But I sat there with these awesome performances and this script that didn't
match up.
And so then I sat there in the editing bay for like 5 months, just banging my head against the wall going, why am I such an idiot? I couldn't, but I had to like pull myself away and come back at it with like a clear eye and go, okay, so what's the story that is being told by these characters? And then being true to those characters, right? As an actor, that's what I would want. I would want someone to say, okay, what's this honest moments that these characters are giving you, and then tell that story, because your script inspired these characters. These characters are what you have. Now tell their story.
Yeah.
And I think that if you think of the story in that way, I think it's easier to digest. At least for me it was. It was a good learning experience. And you know, that's only within the last, whatever, year that I've come to that realization, which seems so sad that I'm such a slow on the uptake. But
No. The only reason for me right now, the only reason to do short films is to learn something new or to try something new.
Yeah, for sure.
At this point, especially because you're never going to make your money back on a short film. You're never going to break into the industry with a short film. Not these days.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a camera and whatnot.
Yeah, there's so much content out there.
But you can take away something, and you can take away experience or a new technique or whatever it is. That's the point of doing short film, is to always be learning.
And the reason I took that on is because I had an idea for a feature that I was hoping I wouldn't have to write. That it would just be long-form improv, which is my background, and I did a lot of that back in Toronto, which helps hone, like, you know, a really strong character, which is what I love. I love those, like, strong characters with all kinds of weird complexities and things like that. I think that's my strength when it comes to writing, is I write characters, these weird voices in my head, I put them on paper, and they've all got these weird idiosyncrasies, and then I make them talk to each other, and that's where my stories come from. Other people start with maybe a story structure and then add characters to it, and I'm totally backwards. But I think that that's a unique voice that not a lot of people do, and so whether it's valuable or not, I don't give a shit. I'm going to keep doing it. But to me, that's, you know, I think it was an important lesson to realize that, you know, we can do this style, but some of those idiosyncrasies you have to kind of direct a little bit more in order for it to make a cohesive story. Otherwise, you become this.
But you see, and you're
totally
and
different story.
You kind of beat yourself up on that film, which yeah. I thought was really, what was it called again? It was
Before,
which was a great, funny, well done film. To Joel's point, you came away from that knowing how to do that going forward.
For sure. And I came away with it. Not only I came away with it learning, having learned so much and with that experience behind it, but I know now I know almost beat for beat how this script has to look in order to achieve the performances that I'm envisioning, and knowing full well that those performances are going to have even more idiosyncrasies than what I put on the paper, that I'm going to have to fall in love with those the same way that I fell in love with the performances that I got from before and incorporate those in the film as well. So it really is like storytelling from every level, right? It's the storytelling of the script, it's the storytelling of the performance, and it's the storytelling of the edit. And all those things come together to make the piece bigger than the sum of its parts.
Now, Joel, you've submitted, we've done a bunch of your features as well, and tell us a little bit about your experience and stuff. You've mentioned some things as we've gone through, and I mean, how did you get started, and you know, what were some of the do's and don'ts that you've learned on the road to success?
Well, again, it goes back to editing. I technically got started as a kid. I just was born with the bug to make movies, which came from my father, who he was a filmmaker back in the 70s when it was impossible to be a filmmaker. And then I was born, and he stopped making movies, apparently. And there's people here bugging me here.
Bottle opener.
Excuse me.
We've got to take a quick break as we open up bottles of wine.
Alcohol is calling.
Don't worry, I keep that on me at all times. So I was kind of born with the bug, and you know, I would get my little sister a VHS camera, and I would dress up in my karate gi and punch her until she. And I was always the good guy, and she was always the villain because she's my little sister. But it wasn't really until high school when I got the editing bug. It was when I learned that you can cut movies on a computer, you know, non-linear editing, that I fell in love with that part of the storytelling. And it just kind of built from there. I would need something to edit, but I didn't have something to edit, so I would go and shoot it. And I'd bring it back, and I'd go, okay, there's not enough camera angles to actually cut anything.
Yeah.
So the next time I went out and shot something, I'd add camera angles. And then I'd go, well, the performances are crap. And so the next time I'd go out and I'd work on trying to get better performances into telling the story. Then lighting wasn't working, so I'd learn how to light. And then the sound wasn't right, so I'd learn how to do sound. And eventually I just sort of filled my tool belt with just all the pieces you needed to make a movie. And so when you said earlier that I have a good eye for it, it came from literally every day going out with a camera and shooting something and then trying to edit it and failing. And going out to shoot something and failing until I refined it. And that's, you know, that's...
That's cool. And I really don't know any other way on how it should be done.
Well, no, and you have, like... I think there's a lot of people that will study a lot of, like, books and they'll watch the tutorials and things like that. And you can learn a lot from that sort of stuff. I mean, God,
I watch tutorials every day.
Yeah, like every day we're watching something and going, oh, that's awesome. You know, because it's a self-education. And because it's also art, like, you can't take it at face value. Like, there's certain things that are undeniable that you definitely need to know, but then there's like this artistic element where you can flex. You don't
have to.
A lot
of range
that
you can go.
And you don't have to do something a certain way because someone has prescribed it. And, you know, I am super opinionated, but you're welcome to disagree with all of my opinions, you know, and that's part of what the art is, right? It's like, you know.
Well, it's art.
Yeah, it's just what it's, and that's what it's supposed to be, and that's supposed to be that release. And if you've got the passion behind it, right, that's what's driving the going out every single day and getting something in the can so that you can cut together something that you go, hey, I'm pretty good at this.
That's my
Joel impression. Golly!
Jeez, guys.
Check out what I made.
And he's actually not far off base a lot of times. Like, sometimes I'll shoot something just to kind of prove to myself that I still got it. Because there are times working on commercial, you know this. You work on commercial for 6 months, and you want to, no matter how great your clients are to work with, and no matter how awesome the stuff they're bringing you to do is, you still kind of want to just shoot yourself in the head and go, I'm not doing.
You need it. Yeah, you need
to
pick me up.
I'm not doing mine. Yeah.
You need it's to not, pick well, me it's up. Not. Yeah, you're not doing it for you.
Exactly.
You're not scratching your itch. You're trying to scratch somebody else's itch. Right. And that's never a comfortable position.
Yeah. But, and well, you're trying to scratch your itch through someone else's back.
Yeah.
And that's, it doesn't, I mean, you're still using your hand, but it's just a reach around itch.
This is, this is very erotic with the music in the background and the wine and the itching.
Everyone's got an itch that Ryan wants to scratch.
Yep. That's what art is, right?
And if they need to, if they want you to scratch them, Ryan, how do they find you?
If they want to scratch us, or we want to scratch them, wait.
Either way, clients, scratching.
It scratching could be you mutual scratching, scratching. It could be.
Feel like you should be involved.
You want to visit us at www.parkinggaragepictures.com. Make sure there's two P's in the middle, or you're not going to find us.
Yeah.
I know it's really
two
G's.
Long. No P's? Parking
garage. Oh, it's two G's. See, two I did that wrong. It's parking garage. There's two G's in the middle, not P's. I can't even do my own website.
Yeah, so parkinggaragepictures.com. And then we've actually got our website, our new website's rolling out 2016, and it has all of our short films that we've shown with you guys, I think, all of them so far.
Yeah. Well.
Have we?
Did we put Prick on there? We haven't shown that with them.
No, we haven't.
We probably won't.
So it's almost all of the short films that we've ever done are on there, and then the feature film trailers that we've got two sold feature films under our belt at this point, and we're looking to move into another one. But we're still doing commercial work, so if you got clients,
got all that on there, all our motion graphics work, you know,
some VFX. We just did some cool VFX for another local indie film. So we're
or if you don't care about our website, you could just email either one of us. Our name at parkinggaragepictures.com.
Yeah, Joel at parkinggaragepictures.com.
You guys have any projects you have going on right now? You said you have two features under your belt. Can we say what they are?
Yep. Slender. Which comes out March
2016, and then
Romeo and Juliet, which is later 2016.
Yeah, it's kind of being sold to buyers at EFM
in February.
So we'll find out kind of release dates once we know the buyers on that.
And then we're in pre-production on two features, just sort of exploring all our avenues on budget. On where we're going to get our budget. Either we're going to pay for it ourselves, or we have a few fish on the line, you know, seeing if they're going to wait to buy.
We'll see. We'll see how any of that stuff goes. But I think we'll probably end up just moving forward anyway. Either way, we'll do them either out of pocket or with someone else's money.
Yeah. The first one's How to Host a Dinner Party, which the one-sentence pitch I'll let Ryan give you.
Yeah, it's a... dinner party murder mystery a la Clue, except every one of the attendees is a serial killer, an archetypal serial killer. So you got, the Black Widow and the Strangler and the Revenge Killer and everyone kind of invited to the party. And so it's kind of a deconstruction, if you will, of the old kind of 70s, early 80s murder mystery.
Yeah.
Whodunits.
Whodunit, yeah, but kind of like in a Cabin in the Woods style deconstruction, right, where we're taking the tropes and the archetypes that you're so used to seeing, and we're deconstructing it and making it, kind of turning it on its ear and making fun of the genre in and of itself.
Well, that sounds really cool.
Yeah,
I'm interested in that. When you guys get going, I would love to come hang out on set.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't want to do any work. I just want to...
No, for sure.
Just want to eat some food and hang out.
Well, awesome. Thank you guys.
Yeah,
this is the point in the show when I go back to Jamie and I say, you know, all that cynical stuff at the very beginning that's kind of inflammatory. You might want to cut that out.
Cut it out. I will make sure that we keep it on film. are on.
Can
the...
you go back and get my grammatical errors as well?
No.
That's not a job you want.
I like it.
Trust me, that's not a job you want.
If there's any editors out there who like to edit scripts, hit me up, ryan@parkinggaragepictures.com. I need some help badly.
We will pay for your services.
I'll read for you and give you feedback if you ever want.
I've actually just been reaching out to a few people earlier today about doing some script coverage for me, so I'll send it your way.
Awesome.
I have something I might send you. I will talk about it after.
Cool.
All right, guys. Guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate you guys being on the podcast.
Thanks, thanks for all your support.
Yep, thanks, and thanks for supporting Channel 801. Just a reminder, everybody, you can follow.
People show up.
We have people. That's great.
So half of my fear for the evening is about
The panic attack is starting to dissipate with Ben right now. So you get to hear it in his voice, too.
It was. I ran a weekly open mic comedy show, and nobody ever showed up.
Oof.
Just comics.
And that's the worst.
I did it for 4 years.
I don't even recognize half the people here, so that's a good accomplishment.
Awesome.
Either that or we're driving people away.
So again, guys, thanks for being on the podcast. For those that are listening, don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Channel 801. Again, this is a monthly showcase of local produced films in Utah, and we do the showcase at Matagogo here in Salt Lake City. Once a month, and so
generally the first Thursday of the month, or the second Thursday of the month. That might be different next month because they have a play going on for Valentine. So my first time.
Yep. So just check us out there. You can get all the latest and greatest there. And again, guys, thanks a lot, and I appreciate your guys' efforts.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Bye.